Welcome back to Sermon on the Mount, The Prophets False and True, Part 1. I'm still in our garden in Edinburgh. It's kind of cold here, even though the snow has melted today. We're pretty much snow-free. I don't have a lot of protection on the top, so this is very handy for me. We looked at the passage on the narrow road. Immediately following, and I don't think this is a coincidence, we read, "Beware of false prophets, who come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly are ravenous wolves. You will recognize them by their fruits. Are grapes gathered from thorn bushes or figs from thistles? So every healthy tree bears good fruit, but the diseased tree bears bad fruit. A healthy tree cannot bear good fruit, nor can a diseased tree bear good fruit. Every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. Thus, you will recognize them by their fruits." Matthew 7, 15 to 20. Well, how can we tell what a false prophet is? I mean, a false prophet is not just someone who's wrong in his or her interpretation of a passage of scripture or two, because that would mean we're all in trouble. A false prophet is not someone who is wrestling with the truths of scripture. You know, last time I mentioned in John chapter 6, the group at the synagogue largely abandoned the Lord. Maybe some of them never came back, and maybe some came back after a time and they were processing. And the Lord understands that we need that time. As a younger person and a younger Christian, I was pretty quick to slap on the label false prophet. You know, if someone had the wrong view about predestination or about the book of Revelation or about Genesis, or the authorship of Isaiah, I say, oh, that's a false prophet. That's unfair. It's wrong. I think it's unbiblical. Look at the context of this classic false prophet passage. Jesus has been teaching about the narrow road that leads to life. And we've got these people here who look good on the outside, but are not. So their lives show a lack of fruit, or in this case, the wrong fruit. They have a kind of appetite. Look like sheep, but they're really wolves. They're destructive in what they do. They're not healthy. They're like an unhealthy tree. I'm standing among bamboo. You know, I guess bamboo gets sick, diseases like any other plant, but it's pretty hardy, isn't it? How can we tell? Well, as Jesus says, by their fruits. And the Bible has a lot of passages about fruit. Fruit could be actually giving money to help the poor, collecting money as the show of solidarity and love. It's used that way at the end of Romans. It could be fruits of the Spirit, that is, the things that make us resemble Christ, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, so forth. It could be the fruit of having an impact in our communities, in our family, being productive. Those whose fruit is bad will be thrown into the fire. And so, Jesus says later, so too will Christians who don't bear fruit, John 15, 6. So, we looked a few lessons ago at judging, and in 7, 6, Jesus says some people simply don't appreciate the message. And he says it's like throwing pearls to pigs or holy things to dogs. Very harsh, very strong. But even here, this is another example of judging. Jesus isn't saying that you can never come to the conclusion that someone's misleading you, someone's a false prophet. Because why would we even have this in the Bible if it was impossible to do? He actually says you can say that sometimes. And here's how you tell. It's by the fruits. So, of course, it's never okay to persecute false teachers, false prophets, heretics, let alone to torture them as was common in the Middle Ages, all the way until actually fairly recent times, and is still common in some parts of the world, in some religions. So how can we tell a true prophet from a false prophet? Look at their lives. Jesus gives analogies. He's a master of analogy. Sheep and wolves, grapes and thorns, figs and thistles. Earlier, dogs and pigs, now we've got wolves. Different kind of animal, more subtle, less obvious, more strategic. But these are no ordinary wolves. They're wolves in sheep's clothing. I've seen on the internet some pictures, people will Photoshop or it's a special effect. You look at it, it looks like a sheep. Wait a minute, it's a wolf. Look, they're quite amusing, I think. It's quite easy to imagine. But what we don't see, of course, are sheep in wolves' clothing. Or do we? But despite the outward show of righteousness, inside they are predatory. Now, I'm kind of fond of wolves. Anything in the dog family I like. Jackals, foxes, dogs, wolves. I know they're all related. I like them all. But there's a warning here. You be careful with the wolf. They're false prophets. They twist God's word. They may be sincerely deluded, but they delude others. So we may think we're right. Just thinking it or being sincere, being convinced, even having good reasons, doesn't mean we are right. We need to be open to evidence and reason and input. Some of their ideas and the vocabulary may sound right. Yeah, so they may keep the language of the narrow road, but they say the narrow road is the way of all-embracing love. You know, we need to accept everyone just as they are. And it's hard to do that, which is true. And then that becomes the whole thing. And we totally lose categories of sin and righteousness, vice and virtue, salvation and judgment, truth and error. We don't talk about that, but they redefine it. So sin isn't really biblical. So sin is just one sin. Maybe it's the sin of intolerance. You see what I mean? But they'll keep the terminology, but change the meaning of the words. Kind of twisting. I think that's the twisting of scripture that Peter refers to at the end of his second letter. So some of their ideas and vocabulary sound right. There's usually more than a grain of truth in what they say, but often basic terms, basic ideas have been given a twist. And there's one more thing. False prophets in the Bible normally outnumber the true prophets by a large margin. We'll talk about that more in the next lesson. But let's look at some thoughts from the early church. Shepherd of Hermas, we're going to look at Apollonius and the Didache. So these are all quite early. In the shepherd, test a prophet by his life. The man who merely seems to have the Spirit exalts himself and wants to have the first seat. He's bold, impudent, and talkative. He lives in luxury and takes rewards for his prophecy. So you have the injunction here to test the fellow by his life. You know, that's the fruits. Hermas reminds us that someone may seem to have the Spirit, but it's all about him. Here's that ego, the narcissism. Like some of the Pharisees, he wants to have the best seat. He's quite confident. Sometimes we just cave in if someone's confident. We don't want to have a conflict. And it's easier to let someone else do our thinking for us. He's talkative. And then he enriches himself through his ministry of prophecy. I don't think the true prophets were ever wealthy people, but he lives in luxury. Apollonius, all the fruits of a prophet should be examined. Tell me, now look at this. Does a prophetess dye her hair? Does she use cosmetics on her eyes? Is a prophetess fond of dress? Does a prophet play gambling tables and dice? Does a prophet lend money on interest? All of these behaviors were considered worldly in the early church. You know, immodesty, gambling, extortion. I'm not doing a talk here on hair dyes, something that would be utterly useless to me personally, or cosmetics, or you know, what exactly constitutes modest dress. But we need to resist the way of the world. And the false prophets, they tend to make themselves look good on the outside. I think that's the point Apollonius is getting at. And then in the Didache, even if a prophet teaches the truth, if he does not do what he teaches, he is a false prophet. Right. So even if you're teaching the right way with your mouth, if you're teaching the wrong way with your life, if people followed you, but they'd be going in the wrong direction, you're a false prophet. In the Old Testament, I always love Lamentations 2:14. Jeremiah is the before, Lamentations is the after. The false prophets, well, they actually taught a lot of false things. But in this verse, it doesn't mention those. It simply says that they didn't challenge sin. They wouldn't speak the truth. And that way, they led astray many to their destruction. Even if a prophet teaches the truth, doesn't do what he teaches, he's a false prophet. Prophet's false and true. I've got more material on this. I couldn't fit it all into one talk, 15 minutes or less. So come back for Sermon on the Mount W, False Prophets and True, Part 2.